Wow. This is great. Thought I was going to be driving home today. How does that always happen? If Kim has anything to do with it, he's going to get you in here. Just always drunk on the gifts. I don't have any specific agenda tonight except just to press into the Lord with you. And I would like to teach you a couple songs, though. That's unique because being a songwriter, and I know Rick's a songwriter, and I'm sure you get some original music going here, but I'm also a songwriter, and but more than that, the songs that the Lord gives me are, you know, from not just songs that sound good or that I think are clever, but songs that really had an impact on me when I was writing them, and that's really how it should be. So I had this song, I don't know if I taught it to you last time. It's one of my most simple songs called Daddy God. Did I teach you that one?
Yes.
Some of you remember from the weekend, but it's just a... Did I teach it to you when I was here? Or?
Yes.
Oh, I did? Okay,
yes.
Well, we'll do it again.
Just remember it.
So you remember it. And then we're just going to kind of go on a journey, because I know that there's one thing that I do know about music, and that is the Lord really likes it when it's... When it has the energy and the ambiance of right now. He really likes that because the Lord releases things in the now that can't be prepared. That by pressing in, they're squeezed out of his heart. And I like that with my music, being able to flow like that. And as I have said on many occasions, when I used to do praise and worship music, I used to just make a list of songs and go through the songs. And the Lord sort of broke me out of that pattern. And I certainly am not here to say it's wrong, but I'm here to say that that's just the way that the Lord changed me in my minstrel ministry. And that was with the revelation that I'm an interpreter of the heart of God, not a performer or just a leader of songs. And what that requires of congregations is that we let up on some of the things that we expect. Because oftentimes in worship ministry in churches, we are used to worship being a certain way or a certain format. And sometimes we have trouble receiving if it's not in that same way. So I would encourage you today that you're drawing from the Lord, and the openness of your heart is going to posture you to receive what the Lord has to say. And it will help release me. And so I have a little bit of a musical format here, but it's more of a musical journey because it can change at any time. What I usually do is I sketch out, you may consider this a song list, but this is a sketch of songs that I sense that I will use, but I don't know when I'm going to use them. They're just there so I don't forget. You know that 40 thing? Uh-huh, yeah.
Well,
sometimes that happens, and you need a little bit of some notes here, so... I keep the songs here that the Lord has impressed upon me so that I can draw from that treasure chest as he desires to use the songs.
Amen.
Okay. Is that enough of a disclaimer?
Oh,
all right. As always, I record everything so that the things that the Lord says can be scribed and can be then reviewed after this meeting, because I believe that when the Lord speaks, it's not just for a meeting. It is for a time and a season. And we as Christians need to learn to review and to study the things that God says.
Yeah.
And marinate and meditate, to mull over, to review, to delve into, to let settle in your heart. So oftentimes that requires that you have more than one listening. So that's why we record. And so we're running a recording tonight. And it is a great privilege to be back with you and to be back in Springfield and just to be used of the Lord. And I'll be ready to go back home tomorrow and see my babies. It's been about a weekend. Wow. You never sleep quite the same. You never really get rested because you're kind of out of your whole realm, you know, your whole physical home situation. So... you have to rely more on the Lord, which is a good thing. Okay, so Daddy God, let's see if we can get our sound going here. You know, what did the Lord do without all these electronics? I don't know. thing is, I like him because, you know, there are tools to express his heart. And his heart is so vast and so creative that it requires a lot of palettes to delve into the creativity of his heart. That's why I like synthesizers and I like sound modules and electronics, just because they can capture nuances of his heart that just can't be captured with just one type of sound. And I love that about the electronics, and that's why I use them. And the Lord really, really breathes on the electronics. And so I encourage you that the more the church is able to invest in electronics, good, do it, because it will express different parts of the heart of the Lord. And also the musicians that the Lord brings you like to have good tools to work with. I remember the very first keyboard I had was just a little teeny tiny thing, and some of the keys didn't work. You know, but as I grew and I was able to invest in a little bit more expensive instruments, I gave, you know, other guys were out buying nice cars and nice clothes and different things like that, nice stereos. I was out buying a keyboard, man. Because I wanted a keyboard that could really carry, you know, a real, you know, piano sound. That's pretty good, wasn't it? Bösendorfer. Without all the weight. Okay. All right, so we're going to sing this one together. Daddy God. And Daddy God will meet the need. Do you remember it? Of all that I require. Daddy God will glorify and fill me with his power. God will glorify and fill me with his power. And then the chorus is, I draw my life from you. I draw my strength from you. I find myself in you. Like a father to share with you the birthing of this song was that a time in my life when God was revealing himself to me as a father that I didn't have. And at that time, I didn't really have a container for what it felt like to feel the love of God. And it was overwhelming to me. And the only thing that I could think of was, rather than just saying God or Father, which is what a lot of religious people do, they God and Father, to me it wasn't enough. It was too complicated. It was too unfeeling, Father or God. And so I just was looking for the words, and the word just says, you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, or Papa, or Daddy, right? So I thought, well, wow, can I write a song with the word Daddy in it? Will people think that's sacrilegious? I mean, this is the way I thought at that time. Daddy God? Wait a minute, we only say Jesus and God and Holy Spirit, but Daddy? So it was a big stretch for me as a songwriter to write those words. And then, of course, when we draw our life from Him and we draw our strength from Him, we find ourselves in Him. We find, it's like I was thinking the other day in our meeting over at Ludlow, we were not in our right minds when we came to the Lord. We were not even in our right mind, because the Bible says that we are being transformed by the renewing of our minds, right? So that means that something in our mind was off. We were not in our right minds, but when we came to Him, we began to find ourselves, began to find our identity, our calling, our function, our secret place in the kingdom. That's what it means when it says, I find myself in you. So Daddy God will meet the need of everything we require. That's pretty cool. And Daddy God will glorify Himself in that and fill us with His power. I draw my life from you. I draw my strength from you. I find myself in you, like a father to a child, to his son or to his daughter. So that was kind of a little insight as to why we wrote that song. And I found that people, it's so simple that it takes on a profound nature to people when they engage it in their hearts. Daddy, Papa, you'll meet the need of all that everything that I require, or you'll meet the need. I think it's really cool myself. That's why I wrote it. Like this. And Daddy God will meet the need. Will meet the need. All that I require. Of all that I require. And Daddy God will glorify. Fill me with His power. Journey. I don't know about yours. As far as the church goes, you know, those days of going from church to church, trying to find your place, trying to find your grace, trying to find a place to belong. A friend of mine says that when we go to church, we're looking for me. When we go to church, we're looking for people of like faith. People that whose hearts beat with the same things that are inside your heart. And so I was thinking that about this word, build your church. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates will not what? Will not prevail against it. And I thought about, how is he going to build his church? With living stones. We're the living stones. And we are the building of his tabernacle. We are the tabernacle of his dwelling. No longer just brick and mortar, but we are the indwelt place of the Most High. And so I thought, really, when he says, I'll build my church, he's really saying, P.S. I'll build my church, and incidentally, I'm going to build my church with you. Yep. So I was thinking about that, and I wrote this song with a friend of mine that says, build your church with me, and it goes like this. To me, it sounds like a master builder. Kind of out there plucking, you know, swinging the hammer, swinging the pick, kind of up. Dum, 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 dum. You gotta understand. Okay, I'm not writing that, okay? That's just the way I think when I write. You know, I think in pictures, you know? And, you know, I was riding down the highway one day and I saw this billboard that said, come to our mall and linger longer. I love that phrase. Because linger longer. Let's just linger a little longer. Sometimes we want to get out of the present so quick because we got these other agendas, but when we linger, something greater than we expected always happens. When we take the extra efforts to put away the distractions and put away the cares of the world and the mind and focus and linger in his presence, something that happens. So come to our mall and linger longer. I'm going to write a song with that, linger longer, isn't it? Yeah. It's like this woman this weekend, she was saying, and it came out of the presence of the Lord when we were all there. She said, you know, the Lord gave me these words. And she said, the devil woulda, if he coulda, but he ain't, because he can't. Isn't that good? The devil woulda, if he coulda, but he ain't, because he can't. That'd make a good song. So anyway, the bizarre mind of a songwriter, yeah, I know what you're thinking. Gee, what have we done, Pastor Kim? Invited this thing in here. All right, so I was thinking, building your church with me, Lord. Build your church with me. And let your power fall. So the verse says, standing here before your throne, knowing that I am at home. That's a profound statement. Especially in the church world where people are just hopscotching, cruise-o-matics. Spend a little time there, go a little over there, or a little over there. And they're like vagabonds. They never find a place called home. And something in them is unsettled and unrestful because they're always looking for this elusive thing. And they've forgotten that it's not about the thing. It's about, you know, how does God want to build his church with me? Not is the church perfect so I can now be a part of it. No, that doesn't work that way, folks. You know, so standing here before your throne, knowing that I am at home. No one can take my place. No one can take my grace. I have been designed for this place and time. Lord Jesus, build your church with me. Isn't that an incredible statement? Build your church with me. It changes the whole focus off of, I want a church built just for me, to build your church with me. That is a whole different servanthood attitude. And the Lord is pleased with that, and he can build a great church with hearts, even a tiny little people whose hearts say, build your church with me, build your church with me. And how does he do it? By letting his power fall upon you. He can make the small man tall. That's another good line I like in the song. He can make a little bitty man really big and tall because they're willing and they're surrendered and they're saying, build your church with me. A friend of mine says, God delights to take a little bitty man and stretch him. Don't you love that? He loves to take little teeny beady people, and he likes to stretch them. Yeah. And so the Lord will make a small man tall, and they'll let the glory of the Lord now come and build your church with me. It goes like this. Standing here before your throne, knowing that I am at home, no one can take my place, no one can take my grace. I have been designed for this place in time. Lord Jesus, fill your church. Standing here before your throne, knowing that I am at home, no one can take my grace. Place in time, Lord Jesus, fill your church with food. Church singing that, and they get to that part, they've engaged their heart in prayer. Lord, I have been designed for this place and time. Lord Jesus, build your church with me. And then you get the chorus. And let your power drum go on. Horns are going. See, it's something that happens when you get the unity and harmony of the body singing something unified together. And let your power fall. And make this small man tall. And let the glory of the Lord now come and build your church with me. I just love that song. Because it's a thematic, almost like a church dedication, sort of a church reforming kind of a song. And it gets the body singing. No, it's not about just you, Sovereign Lord, building your church. No, it's about what part do I play and what you want to build. Build your church with me. I love that. Okay, so let's try it one more time. See if you can get a little bit more of it this time. And we got one recording, so Rick can teach you this at some other time, and you guys can experience the glory of the Lord even when I'm not here. Standing here before your throne, knowing that I am at home. Knowing that I am. No one can take my place. No one can take my grace. No one can take my grace. I have been designed. I have been for this place and time. For this place and time. Jesus, build your church. For Jesus, build your church. That's what I wanted to teach you there today. Build your church with us, Lord. And the other one I wanted to kind of, these are songs that we're getting on tape that maybe you want to add to your repertoire in the church, okay? So that's one reason I'm recording them for you. Jesus is the prize. He must be the center of our focus. He must be the focus of our love. All treasures in this world are lost when He is near. Worship Him, for Jesus is the prize. I'm going to sing that for you right now. He must be the center of our worship. He must be the focus of our love. All treasures in this world are lost when He is near. Worship Him, for Jesus is the prize. 'Cause men on earth, they search to find its treasures, and when they're found, they do not satisfy. The treasures in this world are lost when He is near. 'Cause worship Him, for Jesus is the prize. For our worship, can't you feel it? Oh yes, your Spirit lives within us. Can't you feel it? All our praise to Him must rise, 'cause Jesus is the prize. In every church, 'cause Jesus is the prize. He must be center of our worship. He must be the focus of our love. All treasures in this world are lost when He is near. So worship Him, 'cause Jesus is the prize. Men on earth seek to find its treasures, and when they're found, they do not satisfy. All treasures in this world are lost when He is near. Worship Him, 'cause Jesus is the prize. He is hungry for worship, can't you feel it? Oh yes, Spirit lives within us. Can't you feel it? All our praise in it must rise. Jesus is the prize. Hear me, church, 'cause Jesus is the prize. He is hungry for our biscuits. Hungry Jack biscuit. Anybody remember those Hungry Jack biscuits?
That's right.
He's hungry for our worship. It's like, he's hungry. Hey, the Bible says the eyes of the Lord roam, are constantly searching throughout all the earth. Isn't that what it says? That means He's longing for something. He's hungry for our worship. Don't remember when you sing that? No, you go. Get it go. He's hungry for... Hey, okay, it'll work as a country song, all right? Okay. He's hungry. Just remember that. Yeah, he's hungry. No, when I was in a church, and I was on staff in a church in New York for 1 year, and it was a contract. I was only there for 1 year, was there to help them rebuild from a church split situation, very painful time in the church. And they needed someone to come in and sort of someone from the outside to coach and, you know, just sort of pour some oil on the worship team and different things like that. So I was there. And one morning, coming to the worship service, I thought to myself, and this was during a time when I was beginning to break away from just the known songs and asking the Lord to give me my own songs. Okay, so this was as a songwriter when I was sort of switching from all the songs that I knew how to play to songs that God was giving me. And on the way to the church one morning, I heard this old black preacher on the radio, and he was talking about, and some of you may have heard a rendition of this story, but I'd never heard it before, and it really, really gave me a lot of fuel for this next song I'm going to write, or I'm going to play for you. But he was talking about, there was El Fama, you know, they go, they got that language, you know, but El Fama. He had an old mule in the backyard, and El Fama had to go to town to get some fee for his mule. So he go to town to get some fee for his mule. But when he come back, he found out that mule had fallen in the old dry well. He fell down an old dry well in the backyard over there by the creek. And he didn't know how he was going to get that mule out of that dry well. So he said, well, I can't get him out of there, so I might as well just give him a good burial. So the old farmer, he goes over, and he's telling his story. He says, so I just started to shovel some dirt in there on top of that little mule down there in that old dry well. And I just was sure I was going to bury him alive and put him out of his misery. And he said he went over to the edge of that dry well, and he looked in there. And that mule was down there just shaking it off. And he's just packing it under his feet. You get the picture? He's throwing a big old load of dirt down there. That mule goes, oh, oh. And he's just packing it down like this with his hoofs, you know. And finally, he said, what happened? And the funniest thing happened. That little mule started rising up out of that old dry well because he kept on stomping that dirt under his feet. And it kept lifting him up out of there. You know how they get. And he's going on with this message. And I'm like, yeah, that's good. In fact, that's all my work this morning, because we got a big spirit of heaviness in the church going on here. And we need a tool, a mechanism. We just can't say, I would have to hear his kids, but that's getting in. But now, it's something about that song just won't work today. Maybe it worked some other time, but it's not going to work today. So I was thinking to myself, shake it off and pack it under your feet. How many of y'all have to sometimes shake stuff off of yourself?
Amen.
Get it. Shake yourself. Yeah. Shake it off and pack it. Put them under your feet, you know. Put that stuff under your feet. Strip on it. What's the end of this? And so I got to church and I went to the keyboard and I thought, you know, I'm going to write a little song about that, and we're going to get the whole congregation shaking it off and packing it under their feet this morning. So I got this little tune. There it is. Let's see. Here we go. I think that's the key. It goes like this. Now, this is a very dignified song.
Okay? Yes.
You got to get ready for it. So I went like this. I said, we got a special song for you this morning. The choir's going to sing it. I taught it to them before the service. They all picked it up. They were real excited. Here we go. Shake it off. Pack it under your feet. Come on, shake it off. And pack it under your feet. Come on, shake it off. Of course, I'm doing the bass part. That's right. I like to do instruments with my mouth. I don't know why. So, if they're not here, I start hearing them in my head, so I start singing. Shake it off, get under your feet, and come on and shake it off, get under your feet, and come on and shake it off, get under your feet, for the Lord has promised you to be mine. And you praise him. And so we got to singing that. People were kind of like, that's kind of cute, you know, the congregation. But I said, no, wait a minute. We're going to take this a little bit level higher. All the choir are going to do some actions here. Now, if we're singing Shake It Off, let's go ahead and do some shaking. Shake it off. It's like you got something sticky on your hands. You get like cotton candy, and shake it off. sometimes you just gotta shake it off. And the more I did it like that, they just got excited, like, that's right, I just gotta shake this off. And everybody was out there doing this, and I'm thinking, boy, if I just had a camera right now, I could send this into the world's funniest videos and win.
Strange manifestation occurring in New York Church.
So we started singing, shake it off, and the bass player kicked in, drummer kicked in, you know. So we had that thing grooving, we had the choir doing that number, you know, kind of dipping that shoulder on. And every time we said, shake it off, don't think you change the dick and die. Get under your feet and come on and shake it off, on in the back of your. Get under your feet and come on and shake it off. And they got to, so they got that down. I said, now we got to pack it in our feet. We got to come on, we got to pack that stuff in the mess room.
That's right.
You know, so they were just going, you know. Hey, but you know, sometimes those movements and the coordination of what God wants to say, they're all to reinforce faith, to reinforce what God wanted to say to them, that was to, hey, shake off the heaviness, right? Just put off the heaviness for a spirit of heaviness, you know? And so they, and we did that song for almost the whole service because faith just kept growing in them and they kept shaking off that stuff and God was touching them. And so it's just a little song like that. It's basically blues pattern. You know, Rick knows the pattern. It's just that, you know. Shake it off. Y'all want to do it with me? Come on, do it. Shake it off. Do it. Get under your feet. Come on, shake it off. Get under your feet. Come on, shake it off.
Why do you have stuff coming off?
Get under your feet. Oh, Lord. Another song I wrote with my friend, a friend of mine, that, you know, sometimes we say, the devil made me do it. The devil made me do it. He's just that old devil. And so I thought, oh God, I'm going to write a song to bust the devil in the head. And I said, you know, hey, we can bust the devil in the head. We can beat him up. Why don't we use the word of God? Man shall not live by bread alone, by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It's like he was saying, in your face. In your face. In your face, devil, trying to tempt me. In your face. So, you know, so I thought, I'm going to write a song. I'm going to write a song that's like bust the devil in the head, knock him in the teeth, okay? It's not really a warfare song. It's just a song that kind of taunts the devil. You know, gets in his face. It's called Have No Mercy. Mercy on the devil. Have no mercy on his works. Have no mercy on the spirit that's tearing up the earth. Have no mercy on the demon destroying my life. To intercede, to make a great divide between the people of God and the darkness.
mercy on the devil. Have no mercy on his works. Have no mercy on the spirit that's tearing up the earth. Have no mercy on the demons destroying my life. Lift your voice to intercede, to make a great divide between the people of God and the darkness, between the children of day and the night, between the people of God and the darkness, between doing what's wrong and what's right.
Have no mercy on the devil. That's right. We're not going to glorify you, devil. We're going to knock you in the head. Yeah, that was another song there. That's probably not a good congregational song. No, that's not a good congregation. Well, praise God. That's enough of the light stuff. Now I'm going to. By the way, I'm going to write a country song. You know, I am. I'm going to write a country song that's going to make millions. You want to hear my title?
Sure. Yeah.
Bill Mercer.
Okay, my country song title is going to be, I Want to Be Half the Man My Mama Was.
Oh, Lord.
I want to be half the man my mama was. Hey, you see those guys sitting in the bar, expecting,
that's right, mama. My poor daughter. And she raised me and said, and we just said, I was going to be half the man my mama was.
Think about it. I mean, hey, don't you guys, nobody can steal that. That's copyrighted.
Got it recorded. It's on record.
That's right. Half the man my mama was. That's right. That'll work. Well, praise God. Yeah, it's, you know, it's great to be a songwriter. You know, one thing that I didn't realize. Did you know that your giftedness sometimes is covered up for years? Your gifts and your callings can be covered up in you for years. By the way, is it too loud in here?
No. Not at all.
Okay. Not at all.
I remember my mother, before she passed away, the Lord had given me a lot of great time with my mom before she passed away, because we had been separated for many, many years, but the Lord gave us those, like, the last 11 years of our life were just tremendous, and she came to the Lord, and she had so many questions, and she did a lot of growing in that time with the Lord. But she told me, it's something I never knew before, she told me, Craig, do you remember when you were a little teeny tiny child, how you would come and sing under our door, mine and your dad's door, real early in the morning? And I absolutely had no remembrance, recollection of that. And she said, oh yes, you could remember the melodies and the words to numerous tunes just after hearing just once or twice. You basically would have the whole song in your head, and you would sing the songs that you would hear even the day before, under our door. And when she told me that, I remembered it. But I wouldn't have remembered it had she not told me. And it was almost like the Lord was telling me, you see, the psalmist minstrel music gifting was there way, way back. And did you know that it wasn't until someone was brave enough to see that in me and encourage me in that I believed it, that I believed that I could, that I was called and that God had anointed me for the area of music. Now, all the time that I was in an orphanage as a child, I never was involved in music. Many years after I left the orphanage, I was never involved in music. But the gift of God was inside there. Isn't that fascinating? And I guess the reason I'm telling you that is because whenever you have the chance, the Bible says that seek, earnestly desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you prophesy. But in another place it says, be eager for spiritual gifts,
but rather that you would edify, something of that nature. I may be getting it wrong. Seek that you might excel or get better at edifying the church. This tells me that as the church body, we should be those who see the gift or see an anointing in someone else and affirm it and pull it forth. Pull it forth. There have been circles of people that I've been associated with through my Christian walk where, hey, the only people that were anointed were the guys who were up on the platform. The only guys that are anointed are the guys that are 4 feet higher than us and get to wear all the costumes and stuff. And we're, you know, we're just pew warmers. And I say to you today, there's no generic Christian. There's no generic Christian. That the fivefold ministry spoken of in Ephesians, pastor, apostle, evangelist, prophet, teacher, are all drawn from the general pool of believers.
Amen.
Okay? That means those sitting in our congregations, in our churches, their giftings that are in our midst. And I encourage you to be looking for the anointing and the gifting in those that are around your life. And be willing to reach into it and pull it out and encourage it. We can never do enough encouraging because we have so many onslaughts against our gifting and our anointing from the enemy, from that force that wants to thwart and misguide us. We need constant edification and encouragement. And had this lady, sometimes the encouragement, you'll never know what it will do to the person that you have encouraged, where it will take them, what it will release in them. I remember as an orphanage senior in the Oxford Orphanage, we used to go from the campus, which we were all contained on a big campus. We used to leave the orphanage campus and we used to go on these walks uptown to go to the big Baptist church. And we had to go to church somewhere else we'd get punished. So we decided we would like at least be able to have a nice long walk uptown. So we would go up there. Of course, none of us knew anything about the Lord. And we didn't go to church because we loved the Lord. We didn't have any idea whatsoever what church was about, who Jesus was. We didn't know anything. We were going because we were forced to go. And when I would go to this Baptist church, there was this lady there that her name was Barbara Humble. And Barbara Humble looked like olive oil. Remember the old Popeye cartoons? Little skinny, bony olive oil. She had a black and big old eyeball. Popeye! You know, she had this raspy voice, and real thin and lanky and spindly. Well, this lady looked like olive oil. She stood about 6'4". And she had fingers that looked like rulers. They were so long, great big old fingers. And she was the organist at this church. And I remember going in there and sitting in the back of the church and hearing her get up to that four keyboard organ. You know, the big old pipe deals? I mean, these were the real deals. And this, you know, these organ things went around like this, all these switches and levers and things. It looked like a spaceship or something. And she had this little mirror up there so she could see the congregation when she's playing or see the preacher when it was time to stop or whatever. But whenever she would play those hymns on that organ, something in my spirit, man, went, it's like I went to attention. And she would play, like she would get in this, she'd be playing, dun, 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 dun. I mean, she went everywhere on those keys. And man, the power of that anointing of the Lord just kept hitting me. I didn't know what it was. But you know what it was? Is the music was identifying something in me that I was called to do.
Amen.
And sometimes when you hear a message that Ken gives or an admonition, something in you will go, it's because the Lord, He has touched something that has ignited a secret that God has placed in you from His heart. And there is a holy relationship to what was said or what was exhorted, and it resonates with you. And eventually, this lady asked me to join the youth choir, which I did, because I just thought she was the most greatest musician I'd ever heard in my life. So I got involved, and she heard me sing one day, and I'll never ever forget it. She She was sitting at the piano bench. She played a little song. I sang a little song. And she looked over. She went. She looked at me with those big olive oil eyes. She went, "Young man, you have a gift from God." And when she said that, for the first time in my life, I came in contact with the realization that I have a gift from God. So you never can belittle the importance of that encouragement, that mentoring, those mentoring words that you have, even if the person is rusty and unrefined and a snotty-nosed little baby still wetting their diaper. It doesn't matter, because those words are like life. They get deposited in the crevices of their hearts, and God uses those. And that is really what drew me out from, into the arena of music, was the encouragement. And then over time, I began to understand it more as I began to learn the piano and began to sing it all. So I encourage you, always look for someone to, even if they are not even a Christian, because as you will know, there are people around your life that you can see a gift from God on, even if they're not serving God. So I think one of our responsibilities as believers is to gently reach in there and say, "You know, Joe, you really got a gift for that. That's all you need to say." Or Sally, that what you did was just really, really revealing that you were gifted in that area. And I just encourage you to do that, because I came, the orphanage environment, it was all a hopeless environment. And when someone finally encouraged me, it set my feet on a path that I've been walking ever since that summer when I was going to that church. So my whole life has played out under the encouragement of that anointed moment when that was spoken into my life. So the encouragers. Praise God. But a couple of years ago, I was in a little town in Florida, and the Lord gave me this little song. And the thought on my mind at the time was how Jesus is like the pearl of great price. And its truths are like apples of gold and settings of silver. And I was just caught one afternoon with the Lord in my time with Him, where I wanted to write a love song to the Lord. And, you know, as I wrote, the Lord was giving me the song and taking me into His embrace at the same time. And I would like to play that song for you, just as a way of allowing your heart to engage with the Lord in a love relationship here. Lord, you are the pearl holy, priceless pearl, earthly wealth cannot compare to you. Lord, you are the pearl. Holy, priceless pearl, earthly wealth cannot compare to you. As I ponder all your splendor, I can feel your arms so tender, my full heart and soul I render to the pearl of greatest price.
as you touch me, Holy Spirit. Healing virtue now, I feel it. Your pure mercy brings me near it to the pearl of greatest price. Lord, you are the pearl, holy, priceless pearl. Earthly wealth cannot compare to you. Lord, you are the pearl, holy, priceless pearl. Earthly beauty pales compared to you. As I touch you, Holy Spirit, healing virtue now, I can feel it. Your pure mercy draws me near it, to the pearl of greatest price. As you touch me, Holy Spirit, healing virtue now, I feel it. Healing virtue, you reveal it, you're the pearl of greatest price. The beauty of your feet, the beauty of your feet, they are what I long for, and they are so sweet. When I brush against the dusty roads of life, and I experience an endless realm of strife, there's nothing more beautiful than falling at your feet. In the world there are many voices, and all have their own importance, but the words of the Lord give life and sustenance. They build me up and make me strong. So when I'm at your feet, it's a place where things are stripped away, and a place where things must change by your gaze. Oh Lord my God, as you touch us, Holy Spirit, mercy brings us near it, to the pearl of greatest price. As you touch me, Holy Spirit, your virtue now, I can feel it. Your pure mercy brings us near it, to the pearl of greatest price. Holy Spirit. such as Holy Spirit. Here in virtue now, we feel your pure mercy brings us near to the pearl of greatest price.
Your spirit. Just play for you like David played for Saul. He began to pluck the strings of that lyre. And somehow when he began to play, he felt the oppression of the king. He felt the disquiet and the discomfort of the king, who was vexed by an evil spirit because he disobeyed the Lord, continually disobeyed the Lord. And David came into his presence and began to play. And I often wonder when he played, and I think he just loved the Lord in the presence of Saul. I think that Saul felt a kissing of the Lord upon David. Even David offered that song, and that heartfelt worship to the Lord. I think that the Lord's communion with David in that moment is what caused the flinging of the oil onto Saul. And maybe David even had a prophetic song and had a word of knowledge for Saul. We don't know. All we know is that Saul was comforted, refreshed, and the evil spirit fled from him. So music, when it's received in the right posture of heart, can do those three things. And Lord, so we just ask you to move upon your church today, tonight, Lord. Bring refreshing and bring a revealing of the Christ in a new facet that we've never known. May the rainbow of your presence, Lord, shine a new color upon your character and nature. And we'll release your person in our midst tonight, Lord. And we'll just thank you so much, Lord. She brought a box of sweet perfume. Then she broke it and poured it over the head of her king. Now I come to worship you. I am that box, sweet perfume, Jesus, teach me, release me, pour in my ointment, pour in my fragrance, pour in my worship on you. Let my worship unveil your beauty. Let the clouds of glory now appear, letting your likeness become my vision as I'm pouring my love. Pouring my life as I'm pouring my worship on you. Every king to worship.
Life you've given us, we give back to you. You are our God. Just like Abraham laid Isaac on the altar on that hill, by faith we know you will provide. Now we lay down our lives to serve you. For there's no other God before you. For this life we now live like Paul is not worthy when compared to the sacrifice you paid for. You are my God, and I will serve you. There is a call I must fulfill. Standing here before you, I find my purpose to see you glorified. To see you glorified in all the earth. All we have is yours. Lord, this life you've given us, we give back to you. You are our God. Just like Abraham laid Isaac on the altar on that hill, by faith we know you will provide. Now we're laying down our life to serve you. Cause there's no other God before you. Life we now live is not worthy when compared to the Christ, you paid for us. You are our God, and we will serve you. There is a call we must fulfill. Standing here, before you, we find our purpose, to see you glorified, 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 Lord, to see you glorified where I work, to see you glorified, Lord, in my friend. Is the voice the Lord can use. The voice that's crackling with age, the Lord can blow through with power. So you're not disqualified tonight from being used in His grace. Just like Abraham laid Isaac on the altar on that hill, don't you know He will provide all you need? Now we're laying down our lives to serve you. There's no other God before you. For the life you now live is not worthy when compared to the sacrifice He paid for you. You are our God, and we will serve you. There is a call we must fulfill. To see you glorified, to see you glorified, to see you glorified in all the earth. To see the fullness of your plan. though I cannot completely see through eyes of mortal man. For the more I understand you, the less I find I know. Only you can satisfy the longing of my soul. It's your glory, your glory. How I long to see the beauty of your majesty. You overwhelm me, compelling me to come before your throne. Tries to capture and take me as its own. I can hear the Spirit of the Lord say, you are mine and mine alone. Let me see your face, let me know your grace as I fall upon my face. It's only you can satisfy the longing of my soul. Your glory, your glory, how I long to see the beauty of your majesty. Compelling me to come before your suddenly appear. Lord, your appearing has come among us. You are the everything we need. Jehovah Shammah, everything we need. May our praise refresh your heart. should we impart? May it be pure, spotted by the world. Wherever two or three come in unity, you said it was in that place. Suddenly.
They were all assembled together in one place. When suddenly there came a sound from heaven, like the rushing of a violent tempest blast, and it filled the whole house in which they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues resembling fire, which were separated and distributed, and that settled on each one of them. And they were all filled, diffused throughout their souls with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit kept giving them clear and loud expressions. And when this sound was heard, the multitude came together, and they were anointed and bewildered, because each one heard them speaking his own particular dialect. And they were besides themselves with amazement, saying, "Are not all these who are talking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own dialect to which we were born?" They were besides themselves with amazement, and were puzzled, bewildered, saying one to another, "What can this mean?" But others made a joke of it, and derisively said, "They are simply drunk and full of sweet, intoxicating wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "You Jews, are all you residents of Jerusalem, let this be to you, so that you will know and understand. Listen closely to what I have to say. For these men are not drunk, as you imagine. For it is only the third hour, about 9 o'clock on that day. But this is the beginning. I stress the word beginning. It began 2,000 years ago, but it's still going. And I tell you now that the Holy Spirit wants to take us much deeper than we've ever known. He wants to stretch us, taller than we've ever been. He wants to transform us from what we were to what we need to be. And to God be the glory.
If you could only know what I have, if you could only see the splendor that I see,
how you would know of my love.
Resplendent is my love for you.
Save here. shut up. Ways you know not of, ways you cannot know unless you come a little bit higher. We say yes, we'll come. Another secret place, giving it up to you. Another secret place in our heart, we're giving it up. We're giving it up to you. For this Father who sees in secret will reward you openly when you give those places up to you. You do not know the full breadth of what he has, or he will reveal. No longer will it be concealed, for he will reveal it clearly to you. Do not be afraid to come to the secret place. Of your holiness, I will worship you, O Lord my God and King. Here in the holiest of all, you draw me near enough to abandon all for the sake of knowing you, my God and King. So high in the shelter of your wings, safe in the secret place of holiness, how I want to know you, O Lord. And keep in the shadow of your love, safe in the secret place of holiness, how I long to know you more and more and more. Under the shadow of your wings, here in the secret place of your holiness, I will wait on you, O Lord my God and King. Here in the holiest of all, you draw me here with love to abandon all for the sake of knowing you, my God. So high in the shelter of your wings, safe in the secret place of holiness, how I need to know you. Safe in the secret place of holiness. In the shadow of your wings, safe in the secret place of holiness,
how I need to know you, oh. Thank you. survive to serve your majesty.
Fear inside of you when it comes to ministering to someone that you know, something that holds you back, and you're right on the verge, but it's like just skidding tires, you know, you just, oh, and you miss your opportunity. Well, I encourage you, if you have missed opportunities, always remember this: the Lord has a refrigerator, and He can keep those things fresh, because if your heart was right, but you just got a little bit intimidated, the Lord can still redeem that. And there's not lost cases. You can still go, and God will just give it to you out of the refrigerator. It'll be fresh. So I encourage you to step forth in boldness as the Lord leads you to touch those around your life, your sphere. Are you involved in worship ministry? You are. Are you a singer, instrumentalist? Or?
I do what you do.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
All right. A minstrel. Do you have a song, something you'd like to share? Something resonating in your heart to sing or something?
I can always do something.
Oh, I like that attitude. I like that attitude. Okay, well, what's your name?
Heather.
Heather? Okay, come up here, Heather. Give her that microphone there. I tell you what, let's do something together. Do you play keyboard? Okay, let's do this. Has something been? I love engaging the minstrels. Has the Lord been saying something to you specific tonight about this people, or anything particular that is resonating inside of you? Right.
There's actually a song I'd like to play.
Oh, you want to play?
Would that be okay?
You betcha. Can you use the mic here? You need a couple of strings. Or you just want to play the piano.
It breaks my heart every time.
I let your heartbeat guide me through every single day. I hear the sound you're calling me today.
Everywhere in all the churches, and I just feel like we really need to begin to prepare ourselves more than we are, and even just like he's saying, in our own secret place, at home alone, just really begin to get before the Lord, so that when we gather together, it accentuates everything. It's like we don't have to come here and sit and wait and wait and wait for God to do something when we're doing that on our own time. Once we come together, just the anointing on all of us is greater than the anointing on any one of us. That's what God's been speaking to me tonight. Just to encourage everyone and get alone with him even more. I know I've been doing it lately, and it's just, the more I get alone with him, the more I hear his heartbeat, I hear his voice in my ear constantly. I'm in prayer and I ask a question, it's right there, God's answering me. So just the more we put in, the more we get out. Come back.
That's good stuff. That's still be discharged, whatever's in you.
Okay,
that really helps. Okay, well, she's like most minstrels, a lot of minstrels, if they're really a minstrel, they've always got a river going inside. And, you know, so I like her attitude because she was willing to step in, and she's obviously got some experience. But at the same time, we have to be ready, like the minstrels, to step in, you know, in our lives. Not just in our service, but in our lives. And that was a good word. That was awesome. That was awesome. Thank you. Kim, what do you want to do? Do you have a sense of what we're...
I believe that what the Holy Spirit has already deposited is awesome. And
just so I don't need to work at this one.
I believe what God has already deposited is already stirring in me. How many of you have got some real churning going on the inside? So if you just bow your heads, we'll just ask the Lord not only to bless this man of God, but to just lift up your hand towards him and say, Lord Jesus,
bless Craig tonight.
Bless his family. Show me if there's something I need to give. I want to obey. In Jesus' name. I pray. And when I get home tonight, Lord, don't let me drop what I just picked up. Let it continue to stir within me. I ask you to stir the gift that I've just received. And let it be well done. If I need to turn over and get more, show me if I need to buy a CD. Lord Jesus, don't let me go. Give me the answer of your plan for my life.
Yeah, the answer of your plan. Not the answer of my plan. The answer for your plan for my life. Because I believe that that's what I was tasting tonight. The answer for your plan for my life. The answer, not just another bunch of questions, the answer.
This afternoon I had a very short conversation with my mother. And she tells me that she had a dream. In the dream, she was flying. And all I know is some of us are about to take flight. Get ready. Get ready. The day of Pentecost had fully come. The day of Pentecost had fully come. I believe the day that God is in right now is fully coming to completion. What's happening in Florida, what's happening in North and South Carolina, what's happening all over the world is going to happen here. Yeah. We're not going to be left behind. It's not going to be just up there or over there or down there. It's going to be here and now. Mm-hmm. Are you ready? You know, I remember meeting with some of the leaders in Toronto. And you think you're tired?
Just wait.
You think you're wiped out? You haven't seen anything yet. I remember listening to one of the leaders, and they said, 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning is when you get in line for the next service. My brother and his wife were down in Pensacola when I sent them down there because they were able to do so when I wanted to with all my heart, but I couldn't go. They'd come out of church at 1 o'clock in the morning and they'd get back in line at 2:30 because they had to empty the parking lot legally. And then drive around the town and then go to the donut place, pick up a dozen donuts, and then go right back and get in line for the next service, which happened at 7 o'clock that night. You think you're tired? The most awesome part was they both said the same thing to me on the phone a few days after they were there. We've been here several days. We've been up all these hours. We are not tired. Close your eyes. Father, you're the only one that can regenerate them, strengthen them, and that Energizer Bunny's got nothing on you. Give them what they need. Fill them with the fullness of your grace. Until you complete them in your image for your glory. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.